Having said all that, our sermon, our word from God today comes from the Gospel of John again and from the book of Revelation. I had a question this morning about what version of Scripture I read from, and that is a good question. Typically, I will read from the NRSV, but that does not mean that I read it exclusively, because at home I have all sorts of translations. Any pastor usually does. I've got the King James. I don't read it often in the pulpit because the language is older and sometimes hard to understand. But I have it at home, and sometimes I will read from it in the pulpit, and I'll let you know when I do. But there are many translations, and there are good things and bad things about all of them. So typically, I read from the small Bible that I have is always the NRSV. But you're welcome to read along in your version as you choose. And if you need help understanding the differences between them, feel free to always ask. But today we're going to turn to chapter 10, verses 31 through 42 in the Gospel of John. Hear the word of God for us today. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" And the Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, though only a human being, are making yourself God." And Jesus answered, "It is not written in our law, is it not written in our law? I said you are gods. If those to whom the word of God came were called gods, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that the one whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world is blaspheming because I said I am God's son? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Then they tried to arrest him again, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing earlier, and he remained there. And many came to him, and they were saying, "John performed no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." And many believed in him there. Now our second word today comes from Revelation. Chapter 10, again, this is Revelation chapter 10, or 7, sorry, chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. So Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. "After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?' And I said to him, Sir, you are the one who knows. And he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night within His temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O holy God, we have gathered here in your place this morning, and we ask for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Come down, O God, to where we have gathered here today, we pray. Dwell within us and among us here in this place, in this field, out in your good creation, O God, we call to you. We call to you because we want to hear your word anew for us today. Let it dwell within us. Let us be so enraptured by your word that we want to hold on to it forever. That like Mary, we want to hold it in our hearts and dwell on it forever. So that it might shape us and call us into your world to be more courageous as your body, to be your hands and feet, to be your love and grace in a world that is so desperate in need of such good gifts. Help us to remember that we are your children, that you have called us here, that you have set the table before us, and you have issued the invitations. And for all of these good gifts, we say thank you. Help us to hear you today in some way. Let your word not come back void. Let it not come back void, O God. Help the word to equip us. Give us courage to be your people. In your name we pray, in the name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, we lift this to you and we say, Amen. Amen. So I'm grateful this morning that we've got a few teenagers out here. I'm glad to see you. Maybe I'll speak your language today, something you understand. I hope so. But for the rest of you, do you remember what being a teenager was like? Do you remember your high school years? I remember mine. And sometimes those years were some of the scariest I have lived. Why exactly? And I'll tell you. It's because in high school, for me at least, I don't know if it was the same for y'all, but for me, the cafeteria and the after-school dance were two of the most frightening places to go. Now, I don't know if they do after-school dances anymore. I have no idea. They did them when I was in school. The reason it was scary was because there were like 300 people in my high school. And everybody was divided into groups. You had the football players and the cheerleaders, the girls who had the really cool boyfriends and the pretty clothes. I still remember asking my mother, begging her for a Guess jean skirt. I never got it. But all the girls had one, and I wanted one too. Because that's how it was, you see. Everybody was divided into groups. You had your ball players, your cheerleaders, your band kids. You still have some of those, I'm guessing. Then we had the kids that dressed in all black. In my day, we called them goth kids. I don't know what they're called today. Maybe something similar. I was in ROTC, so thank goodness I had a group that I could belong to. Until ROTC, I was not in any group unless you would classify the outcast as one of those groups. But in the cafeteria and at the dance, those groups were made clear. You knew where folks, the different groups, sat in the cafeteria. Wasn't like it was when you were in first grade and second grade where you all sat by your class. Cafeteria in high school was a free-for-all. And where you sat in the cafeteria said something about your place in the social structure of high school. Everybody knew who the cool kids were. I find it interesting that when we got to college, nobody claimed that they were in the cool kid group. I'm not sure why, but it changed in college. But in high school, it meant everything. It meant everything. Do we do that as adults? Heck yeah, we do. In and out, cool, not cool, rich, poor, homeless, drug addict, alcoholic, smart, dumb, black, white, male, female, Asian, Hispanic, Christian, Jewish, Muslim. One of my favorites, redneck. Not going to tell you whether or not I'm part of that group. I'm just saying it's out there. Immigrant. Native. We have all kinds of labels. And honestly, some of them are needed. Some of them, they tell our history or our heritage. Just this morning, as I was on my way into Lydia, there was a group of people gathered outside on the street. And as I pulled up, I wondered if they were wandering up to a church to go to service or something else was going on. And as I walked by, I heard somebody say to somebody else on the phone that somebody there was an accessory to murder. Well, I was automatically trying to figure out what group to put those folks in so that I could figure out if I needed to hightail it inside the church and lock the door. Do we do this? Of course we do. Why do we do this? Because we live in a world where sometimes labels are needed to keep us safe or to figure out who it is we're talking to, where they're from, what background they might have. So labels are not always bad. However, what happens when the labels we use begin to define where we are supposed to sit, where we are supposed to play, whether or not we're supposed to eat at the table, or whether we're supposed to live or die? Because that's what's happening in the Gospel of John. Here, now the Gospel of John specifically says the Jews. Now I want us to back up on that label for just a minute. Because over the years, over the decades and centuries, we've used Scripture to demonize the Jewish people. Do not hear your pastor today saying that. This Scripture is not supposed to be used to demonize the Jewish people. The Gospel of John is simply trying to point out to us that the Jewish leaders of that day, the religious leaders of that day, were calling Jesus out. If we had been there, it would have been us. Make no mistake about it. We're not somehow holier than thou or perfect because we're here and they were there. And they happen to be Jewish and we happen to be Christian. That's not what the gospel is telling us. But what it is telling us is that the religious leaders of the day were rejecting Jesus because they had labeled him a liar. When he said he was God's son, they did not believe him. Why? Because he was upsetting the culture of the day. Because he was expanding this table. He was making it wider and bigger than we could ever imagine. You see, the Jewish people at that time believed that they were God's chosen people. In some ways, they still do. And in some ways, we might believe that. But at this particular time, when Jesus comes and he preaches to Jew and to Gentile, to slave and to free, to young and to old, to rich and to poor, they're scared. They're scared because of the same reason that we have the Cain and Abel story. They think that because Jesus is expanding the table, that somehow they're going to lose favor with God. That somehow by expanding the table, that it means that they will lose some of God's love and grace. That somehow they will be less chosen because there are more people at the table. And that could be further from the truth. You see, God's love doesn't shift from one person to another, but covers us all. That's what they didn't understand. Because fear often does that to us. We don't want to believe that God's mercy and grace is that big and that wide. We don't want to believe that the miraculous can be true. Especially today, we want to explain away everything to science. And I'm all about some science, but I'm here to tell you God's Spirit is alive and well, and miracles still happen today. God is still expanding his table. He is still offering up the invitation and still saying, "You are my beloved. I treasure you and I want you at the table." And just because the invitations have been expanded doesn't mean that we're going to get left out. How do we know this? Because we turn to our Revelation text. This text, it's talking about God's kingdom. Our Gospel of John text is talking about how the religious leaders, how the people of that day were rejecting Jesus because they were afraid. They wanted to stone him to death because he was saying something that went against what they thought was true. But all Jesus came to say was, "I didn't just come for the Jewish people. I came for all of my children that I so choose." And that's what we hear in Revelation. This text in Revelation is talking about who is saved and sanctified before God. There are so many people, too many to count, that are gathered there. People from all languages and nations are gathered there together to praise God. And what is the first thing that they sing out? Salvation belongs to God. That is the first thing they say. Salvation belongs to God. In other words, our labels, while they might be important to us, do not matter to God. Because salvation belongs to Him and to Him alone. It is not up to us to decide who is rejected at the table and who isn't. That is not up to us. And too many times the church here in America tries to decide who is welcome at the table and who isn't. But this is holy ground. This is holy ground. So God makes the decision, not us. We are saved, but so is our neighbor. The people whom we hate, the people we don't know, and the people that we're scared of. The drug addict on the street, salvation is open to them just as much as it is to me. They may not hear it because of the drugs or the alcohol or whatever demon they've got going on inside them, but salvation has still been extended to them because of God, not because of me. So to God, the labels, the boundaries, the barriers that we would put up, He tears them down. God invites, God saves, and God's grace is extended to those whom God chooses. Jesus went to the home of tax collectors. He forgave and transformed murderers and is still doing it today. There are just as many Christians in jail cells as there are out here in the world. He breaks bread with sinners. He gathers at the well with prostitutes, and He disagrees with the Pharisees, but He always addresses their questions. He does not turn them away. Simon Peter denied Him 3 times, yet God worked through him to build the church. No one is rejected at Jesus' table unless God deems it so. Why? Because of the cross. Because of the tomb. Because salvation belongs to God. So our labels in God's kingdom does not matter. They don't matter one bit. We know from this text that there were people from all tribes, from all nations, all walks of life who were there. Rich, poor, cool, not cool, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, slave, free, Jew, Gentile, redneck, city, whatever label you want to spit out, whatever label I want to use, from all walks of life, we are His children. From all walks of life, we will gather at His table. Because you see, God does this not because He needs us. He invites so many to the table because He knows that we need each other. We need Him and we need each other. That's how it works, you see. It's no accident that it's all about this relationship and then these. That's the cross. That's no accident. It's the most beautiful thing that there is. We need to recognize how limited we are in our understanding of God and that we need God. When we look at the world and we wonder what is wrong, I'll tell you what's wrong. We have forgotten that we need God. We have forgotten that we need each other. We have forgotten that we are not God ourselves. So the question I have for all of us today is, are you rejecting God? Who in your life have you labeled? Who in your life have you rejected? Have we rejected? And who are you inviting to the table? And who do you wish was not at the table? Who are you sharing your God-given grace with today and tomorrow? Because we all need it. We all need it. And the table that has been set before us, thank God, it is big and wide. Why? Because that means then that there's enough room for us and enough room for all the others that also belong at this table. That is good news. It is scary, yes, but it is good news, for we are all made richer here with God's good gifts. Let us pray. O holy God, we come to your table today grateful and thankful for your good gifts, for the gift of your creation, for the gift of Sabbath rest, for the gift of your extravagant grace. Now work in these good gifts to nourish us, to give us rest, to help us to see and know you better. Oh Lord our God, we are grateful to be invited to your table. And we are grateful that you invite all of your children to this table. That your grace goes beyond our own. That your love knows no bounds. Now hear us, O God, as we pray together the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.